Buttonses?
Buttonses. Trixie Buttonses.
That sounds like a great name for a character.
But how would Millie mess up that character's name? It's Bindle Brightlight, by the way. Bindle Brightlight.
Nightlight?
Brightlight.
Brightlight.
Nightlight?
Look, I don't even know how multiple people mess up my name that way. The last person was an 8-foot-tall tabaxi child. You're nothing like them at all.
Are you sure about that?
Well, you don't have an AOL CD stuck to your head, so...
No, but I do worship the god of partying, so there's already a little bit of je ne sais quoi about us both.
I'm pretty sure the 8-foot-tall tabaxi child only really worshiped themselves.
That's right, no. Family.
And possibly the concept of adopting people without their permission.
They would have, that 8-foot tabaxi child would have done extremely well in Fast and Furious franchise.
Well, at least you're not a bird person who is yelling about teeth, murder, and betrayal. So there's that.
Yet.
Hello, and welcome to Cause and Effect. This is a homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign where all the problems are the player's fault. Sometimes also the characters, but mostly the players. My name is Crash. I will be the GM for the evening. And tonight I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, and Millie. Well, today, tonight, this morning, whenever you're listening to this, is the intermission episode between arcs. So who wants to sum up the arc that we just finished?
We went and assisted three kobolds in a dragon suit in getting rid of, in pest control, and then in mending.
We also befriended a dragon.
Kinda, sorta.
Because, like, you know, like, we helped him out, and then, like, you know, we all agreed to just let the kobolds continue doing their thing.
Honestly, I think Hobby is pretty sure that the dragon probably knows, but...
The dragon straight up said,
if they ever admit to it, I'm willing to pay them three salaries instead of one.
Aww.
But...
I think I'd head them off.
The Red Death of Plantain is very amused by the hijinks and shenaniganery that takes place when Ruby, Scarlet, and Brick try desperately to not tip their hand and show that they are, in fact, three kobolds in a dragon costume.
Yeah, they're fumbling whenever they roll a nat 1 on something.
They don't need to roll a nat 1. Dragon.
Yeah, true.
Things are very obvious. Also, the dragon has a magical eyeball, but that's another story.
Do they hear nor there?
Yeah, it might have been made by
a
previous adventurer who may not actually specialize in necromantic magics, but let's not talk about that right now.
These things happen.
The previous adventurer in question would like to note that she is not actually a specialist in necromantic magics. That was just her original training.
It was just a foray.
Oh, but you were so good at it. One of my best students ever.
Rand, what are you doing here?
Is he not welcome?
I'm just picking up all of the undead over there and placing them over here. Yes, over here is right above a wood chipper. Why do you ask? The wood chipper is named Sen.
Darn right it is.
Okay, so for your reward for completing that arc, you are awarded enough gold. I'm using the word award way too many times. You are each given enough gold so that each player gets 6,000.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Dragons pay, I guess.
Well, it's...
Did you already put that in us, or are we putting that ourselves?
You will need to add it yourself.
Added.
Repeat that, please.
Is
6,000.
Each?
Yes.
Okay.
We're making big bucks.
You're high-level adventurers.
Dragons pay a lot of money.
I assume that's in gold and not copper.
Well, that'd be rude.
Well, it's in store credit. Remember, Flag does... Right. They have their own bank, so you can just have things taken out of your account to pay for them, rather than hauling around multiple bags of holding that are all at capacity because of how much gold you've put in them.
That's fair.
Do bags of holding have capacity?
Yes.
They do. And you can't do the trick of putting a bag of holding in a bag of holding to increase the capacity unless you decide that the whole astral plane is, in fact, the bag of holding that you're going to be putting things in. And also yourself.
Which does make it hard to get stuff back.
You need to, air tag it or something.
The astral plane was only set on fire once, so it's most likely going to survive. If you go to the pinned messages in the channel, you have to scroll down a little bit past the commissioned art. But there is pricing for magical items, should you choose to be spending things. There is, however, also a fire sale going on. Fire sale might be the wrong word, because they're magical items and cannot be destroyed in a fire.
Hopefully.
But there are some items that are considered very rare, but the consignment shop is full. So they're pricing some things at a reduced cost to try to get them out so they have more room for things that are people are, trying to buy more. If you scroll up in the messages, there is...
How much would it be for one of these wondrous items?
The ones in the text box?
Yeah.
The text document, everything in that is 5,000 gold each.
Okay.
So if you have savings, you might be able to buy more than one. But if you are just going with... Like, if you were broke before, you can get one of those.
Yes. I, personally... But I can't open that list.
I am.
It's a text file.
Yeah, it's a text file. Unless it's someone not a else list wants it.
My computer wants to open.
I opened it in Notepad.
I tried to copy paste the list into text in the chat, and it tried to upload the document. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I had to open it in Notepad.
Messages.txt just at once. That's new.
I have to break my list into pieces.
This is your last resort?
As a last resort.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here all week. The fact that it is Saturday is besides the point, and I don't know why any of you brought that up.
If no one else wants it, I'm willing to have a conversation about it. I think that the Amulet of the Devout would be pretty nifty for Chadrick to have. I think it'd be very interesting to explain how I worship the god of parties and have an amulet on it. Like, what is that, a frat bro necklace? But, willing to, if anyone else thinks they would use it more legitimately, that is completely fine in yours.
Well, you know how you can get trophies where there's a circular spot in it that they put a decal in there? So you can have a whole bunch of stickers that customize the trophy. The Amulet of the Devout has a spot where you put in the symbol of your deity.
Oh, so I've just poured a little beer in there?
I mean, if you want to try to hold it perfectly level for the rest of your adventuring, sure.
I stuck a shot glass in there. A stein.
You shake a little, I was thinking a little tiny glass vial, and you put beer in the glass vial, and then you put the a little bead full of beer.
You take the bottle cap from a beer bottle. You put it on top.
I have a Nuka-Cola.
And just smack it with a hammer a bunch of times to get it to fit in place.
I have a Nuka-Cola cap.
I was thinking it, but wasn't saying it. Because Nuka-Cola is not alcoholic. Unless it's... Land. Actually, there is one Nuka-Cola flavor that is alcoholic.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yes, but I just reminded myself that there is one. Also one that is supposed to be coffee, I think. Caffeinated coffee.
A local bar in my college town that was all geek-themed had a Nuka-Cola in the, frozen margarita machine. It was very great.
To answer your question, Beth, I think required in that context means attunement required. I was copy-pasting from a different interface, but it also gives more detail as you scroll down through the text. All the ones that say required seem to also say requires attunement further down.
Oh, I see it there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So I see on here that you have far gear. Do we have near gear?
Well, it's right there.
Do we have wherever we are gear?
I'm not upset. I'm not angry. I'm not disappointed in you. I'm disappointed that I didn't come up with it first. How dare you?
While everyone else is looking, that reminds me, I was just watching a YouTube video of someone playing a game. But the only reason I bring it up is because they were sharing an interaction they had with their child. Their child, by the way, is studying French. So they walked up, they're like, you know, hey, daughter, I keep hearing you talk about vous. Who is vous? Who is vous? And the daughter's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Who is vous? You keep talking about them. And are they a musician? Because they seem to always be playing something. And then eventually the daughter's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you keep saying see vous play. Like,
oh.
Where do you get to see vous play? Yeah.
I taught at a French immersion school. I do not speak French. I got very good at saying, je ne parle pas français. Anyway, so we have one person who's interested in possibly getting the amulet of the devout, possibly for the comedic effect. The DM is okay with this. Any other items that people are interested in?
Abby would be interested also in the, what you call it there, devout amulet, except for the requires attunement.
Yeah, once you start getting into the very rare items, most of them require some level of attunement because really, really powerful, we need to keep you in check somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we see adventurers marching off to battle with, like, a bandolier of wondrous items just going across their chest.
Why should I? You can't stop me.
Well, most of them won't be usable because you have to sit down and attune to it for an hour.
What if I love all of my amulets equally?
Then you won't be attuned to any of them because that's how they'll be equal.
Okay. But yeah,
when everything's wondrous, nothing will be. Huh. Sorry. Oh, and
I have two attuned items.
You could have a third.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And for the record, you can get magical items that are not on this text list that I've shared with you. It's just that these are ones that would normally cost a lot more. These would cost 2,500 gold. Now they're only costing, 25,000. They would cost 25,000. Now yeah. They only cost 5,000. For a limited time only. Get them now before they're gone.
Wow.
These prices are ableist slur. I remember that guy who was actually not the guy. He was an actor.
You know, I just watched UHF again recently.
Spatula City.
Spatula City. Exactly. Incredibly. Boyfriend had not yet watched Spatula City.
Well, you had
even
to correct
gold
that.
How much gold am I supposed to add?
Who, what, where?
We each got 6,000.
Oh, 6,000.
Okay.
Yes. I should probably mention, because two people have expressed interest in the Amulet of the Vow, what is this thing? Well, it is a very rare, wondrous item that requires attunement by a cleric or paladin. If only we had people here with paladin levels. Alas, this amulet bears the symbol of a deity inlaid with precious stones or metals. While you wear the holy symbol, you gain a bonus to spell attack rolls and the saving throw DCs of your spells. The bonus is determined by the amulet's rarity. And in this case, as I've said, this one is a very rare item. While you wear this amulet, you can use your channel divinity feature without expending one of the feature's uses. Once this property is used, it can't be used again until the next dawn. And the rest of it is just filling in information about, you know, what properties it has. And it's from Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. Oh no. Beth has found the wondrous item called Hayward's Handy Spice Pouch, which might be filled entirely with catnip.
Belt pouch appears empty, has 10 charges. While holding the pouch, use an action to expend one charge. Speak the name of any non-magical food seasoning, salt, pepper, saffron, cilantro, you know, whatever, and remove a pinch of the desired seasoning from the pouch. A pinch is enough to season a single meal. The pouch regains 1d6 plus 4 expended charges daily at dawn.
So are you getting that?
I don't know. I'm tempted. Claims it's a wondrous item as type, but it's common?
Yeah, that means you would pay the price of common magical items for that. So that one only costs 75 gold.
You know? Yes.
All right. And according to this, it doesn't even require attunement. You could buy 6,000 gold worth of this.
You say 75? So, no! Okay, yeah.
Not 75,000, just 75 gold. For the low, low price. Yeah.
Could you move that onto my character for me?
I'm looking for it now. I should have that because it's from Xanathar, so I should have that already in Foundry.
So does that mean that you're cool with me getting the amulet?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure before I, nabbed it.
No, that's fine. Grab it.
Okay, can you, make it appear?
Subtract the money from your inventory and I will do what I can.
Okay, I'm down to, I took away 5,000 gold.
I'm concerned that Hobby now has Hayward's handy spice pouch and an alchemy jug.
Well,
I don't see why this is concerning.
I'm just thinking of the various concoctions that can be made with these two things combined. These powers combined.
Yes. Mold wine.
Oh, look at this. Amulet of the Devout is already in here, so I don't need to do a thing. Let's find the one that is considered very rare, because that's the one you're paying for. This one.
Why is it so cheap?
Why is which so cheap?
Looking still at things online. Sorry, that was out loud.
Oh, well, the thing is, dear listener, while we are shopping for fictional things in the D&D fantasy world, Millie is shopping for things also in the real world, because we need those too.
Yes. Oh my god, you're about to invent ranch dressing.
Finally, someone gets it. By the way, Chadwick can get a desk for 50 gold.
Ooh.
It's made of hardwoods.
Ooh.
And there's a label on the desk that says, guaranteed to not have treants hunt you down. There is an asterisk and several small lines that appear to be somewhat squiggly underneath.
I'm not going to buy a tankard of sobriety. I'm not going to buy a tankard of sobriety. I'm not going to buy a tankard of sobriety in order to use sleight of hand to put it into.
Yeah, I'm like, are you going to try and slip something in my drinks?
No, maybe. The tankard itself would be the thing. It removes your ability to get drunk.
You're going to slip my drinks into your own cup.
No.
No, no, I just passed the cup to you in such a way that you thought it was yours.
Deception.
Yes.
This outrage.
Yeah.
You just see the pink evil elephant slowly fading away from reality.
Your face, yes. Yes.
Evil splite is the scar on your face.
Exactly.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time Chadwick tried to get drunk, but Millie succeeded on the roll and therefore could not.
It's so sad. But yeah, no, thank you for understanding my Lion King 2 reference.
I liked that song. It's a good one.
I have not seen Lion King.
Lion King. It's not
most
bad.
Of the movie, not worth it. It's just Romeo and Juliet, but furry. But
I mean, the first one was Hamlet, but furry. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's true. And Lion King 1.5 is Rose's Guildencrest, and
let me know when they do a Lion King sequel that is Midsummer Night's Dream, because I want to know which of the characters wakes up with the head of a donkey.
No, that's just Shrek.
Yeah, that's Shrek.
Not the same company. All right. So we have done a little bit of purchasing. Is there any more purchasing that people wish to do? There is, by the way. It's still looking wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. There is an additional item that is in a glass case that has several padlocks on it. And there is there's a bronze plaque attached to the front of the case that says that the item inside is a scroll of Tarrasque summoning.
Why does that exist?
Because some people just want to see the world burn.
Apparently.
I feel like if you buy that, you have to get put on a list. So they know exactly who to blame when the Tarrasque shows up.
It's only 50,000 gold.
Why does that exist? I say, why is that being sold?
There's that too. That's actually
Do you think
also
the consignment shop owner wants it? Some adventurers came in and said, we got a bunch of scrolls. We can't be bothered to look through them. Will you take 5,000 gold for them? And the guy was like, yeah, sure. And then he started going through them and said, this is a what?
Hobby is going to sort of nudge Cavill in the ribs.
I don't want this.
You think your patron wants that?
I think if he wanted it, it wouldn't be in here.
You may not know it's there yet.
That's a very good point.
Mo sticks his head through the door and just says, for the record, I'm primarily interested in magical items that we can create in bulk and they're sell for a massive profit. He points at the scroll case. One of those is too many. We're not mass producing them. Right. Cameo over. Carry on. And he leaves.
They possibly ought to auction off the right to burn that thing. What happens if you burn
magical.
A scroll? So you need magical fire.
Now I have that song from Lion King 2 stuck in my head. I did this to myself.
You did that to yourself.
Just think about pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows. That usually gets earworms out of my head. And replaces them with pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows.
I use Horse Tamer's Daughter. Because I have sung that thing so much that I actually don't earworm very well with it. I know it too well.
He is not one of us. He will never be one of us.
He is not one of us. Sorry.
I like the original version that just had a small Kenku yelling, betrayed, in the middle of that song. Where he was saying, deceitful, outrage, disgrace, betrayed! Never mind that the Kestrel wasn't supposed to be there at all, but that's besides the point.
Details.
Kestrels aren't supposed to be in any places. That doesn't stop them.
Just ask any dentist.
9 out of 10 dentists agree that Kenku not be around.
They don't even have teeth. That one does. It took them. That doesn't count. Actually, it's part of the problem. There's pictures of Paige. Inside every dentist office saying, do not allow entry to this Kenku.
Incredible.
Now I'm imagining at some point Paige looking directly at the camera and then smiling, revealing rows of shiny white teeth that should not be there.
Oh, you absolutely know it.
Because somehow she got her hands on some dentures.
You absolutely know this.
75% references to previous campaigns by volume.
I need to look at the pinned thing again. Oh, that's so cute. The burb.
With a toothbrush.
With a toothbrush.
Technically speaking, bird beaks tend to be made of keratin.
Hmm.
So, they eat with fingernails. I know, not really. There's a lot of asterisks after that sentence, but still.
Yes.
I don't like this picture.
I saw that and moved on.
Thank you. I'm going to delete it now. It was an obvious duck with teeth, and it was uncomfortable.
All right, so other items that players can get for the low price of 5,000 gold when they would normally cost 25,000 gold. An amethyst lodestone. This fist-sized chunk of amethyst is infused with an amethyst dragon's ability to bend gravitational forces. This is from Fizbin's Treasury of Dragons, by the way. While you are carrying the lodestone, you have advantage on strength saving throws. It has 6 charges that you can use. It regains 1d6 charges daily at dawn. You can use a bonus action to fly with it for 10 minutes.
Fly with me.
For the duration, your fly speed is the same as your walking speed, and you can hover. You can also have an ability called gravitational thrust. As an action, you can spend 1 charge to focus gravity around a creature you can see within 60 feet of you. The target must succeed a DC 18 strength saving throw or be pushed up to 20 feet in a direction of your choice. Ran approves. And also reverse gravity. As an action, you can expend 3 charges to cast reverse gravity from the stones, save DC 18. Reverse gravity is a fun spell. It's going to throw that out there or up there, depending on the situation. Arcane propulsion arm. This requires attunement. Also, it requires you to be missing a hand or arm. This prosthetic appendage was developed by artificers. To attune this item, you must attach it to your arm at the wrist, elbow, or shoulder. Again, you must be missing an arm. You can't just have extra arm. You already have 2. Yeah. Well, what about third arm?
Tell Paige that.
If I remember correctly, it was your 8-foot tall tabaxi hands. Child. Oh, no, that wasn't Paige. That was your tabaxi.
No, Paige had 2 hands. Paige had Hardee's and Carl.
Oh, that's right. The creeping crawls. Creeping
yes.
claws, rather.
Carl Jr. and Hardee's.
Yes. Which is why the mimic was named Wendy's. But moving on.
Yes.
The artificial limb attaches to your body, at which point the prosthetic magically forms a copy of the appendage it's replacing. While attached, the prosthetic provides these benefits. It is a fully capable part of your body. You can take an action to remove it, and it removes itself if your attunement to it ends. It can't be removed against your will. The prosthetic is a magic melee weapon for which you're proficient. It deals 1d8 force damage on a hit and has the thrown property with a normal range of 20 feet and a long range of 60 feet. When thrown, the prosthetic detaches and flies at the target of the attack, then immediately returns to you and reattaches. I'd give my right arm for something like that.
I'm not gonna, you know, Chadrick is good with his amulet.
It looks like Beth has found another thing. Beth already found a thing, but what about second thing? Second thing is a bead of force. This small black sphere measures 3/4 of an inch in diameter and weighs an ounce. Typically, 1d4 plus 4 beads of force are found together. You can use an action to throw the bead up to 60 feet. The bead explodes on impact and is destroyed. Each creature within a 10-foot radius of where the bead landed must succeed on a DC 15 dexterity saving throw or take 5d4 force damage. A sphere of transparent force then encloses the area for 1 minute. Fascinating. Any creature that failed the save and is completely within the area is trapped inside the sphere. Creatures that succeeded on the save or are partially within the area are pushed away from the center of the sphere until they are no longer inside of it. Only breathable air can pass through the sphere's wall. No attack or other effect can. An enclosed creature can use its action to push against the sphere's wall, moving the sphere up to half the creature's walker. Oh my gosh, it's a hamster ball.
Yeah, wasn't the spell that was used when I first joined the whole game with the water ball?
Liaman's tiny hut.
Yes.
Is not movable, though. And that lasts for 8 hours.
Yeah, but like it's similar-esque, right?
In that it is a sphere that you can be inside of, yes. Okay. But you usually don't take damage when somebody casts it. The sphere can be picked up, and Liam's tiny hut cannot, and its magic causes it to weigh only 1 pound regardless of the weight of creatures inside. Oh my gosh, the practical applications for this for somebody who is creative. The damage is just a side effect. The damage is a side effect of what this thing is, not the main event. Beth, I'm going to say yes. They have a small bag of beads of force. I would like you to roll 1d4 plus 4 to see how many of them.
Oh, okay. Let me get this. 1d4 plus 4.
8.
8.
Okay. The price is for the bag, not for... Okay. So you buy the bag and they give it to you after dumping the beads of force out into a jar. That is not true, and I am a horrible person.
There's a nice flat stare going at the Discord. You probably can't see it, but you know.
I just assume that it's there most of the time.
Yes. Tries that, the ears go back. Okay, that's 2,500, right?
It is a rare item, so yes.
Okay, so that goes down to 7.
Okay, there's I drug Beat of Force into your character sheet. Now, where is it? Because I need to increase how many of them there are. You know what? How about I look for it in your inventory, not in your features?
That would help. You have become the Beat of Force.
Oh, no.
You have become Beat of Force, encapsulator of worlds. Look at me, I only weigh 1 pound.
We did that already.
I'm a beach ball.
We already encapsulated the world.
But not these characters.
No, the world was already encapsulated. You facilitated blowing that up.
We turned it off and on again at least once.
I mean, you're not wrong. Okay. You have 8 beads of force in your inventory.
Thank you.
Now you just have to be careful and sit down. Calmly, does throwing a tabaxi count as throwing 8 beads of force at once?
Hopefully not.
Depends on who you ask.
Monty raises one hand, then looks over at his daughter, and then lowers his hand and his head.
Wise.
And walks away.
Wise. Don't think I need that.
I suspect, however, Chroma would be interested in collecting the data.
Very plausible.
Oh, the dimensional shackles. We were talking about that before.
Yeah.
In the previous intermission, the thought was, hey, what if we use these on Sclerora? And then the conversation was about how Sclerora is technically made of nanites and possibly could just flow through them or make herself be large enough that they no longer work. Also, you have to disable somebody to put them on. And if you disable Sclerora, does she just melt away?
It's a problem.
Yeah. But you could definitely get them if you wanted. Wand of Magic Missiles, that is a classic.
It is uncommon, I believe.
I believe you are correct, yes. Are you buying one or considering it?
I have a question.
I have many answers. Some of them are correct.
So it's present, right?
Yeah. That's one of the...
How many of them are present?
Oh, no. That goes from, oh, yeah, sure, we have some, too. Oh, no, you have a plan.
What do you want?
How about this? Roll me 3d6 to find out.
That's scary in a different way. Tell me what you
want. They have 9 in stock. But if you want to put it in an order for some, they can get you more if 9 is not enough.
I don't think I need more than 9 of them.
You sure? We do a bulk discount once you order 20 or more.
Ooh.
Look, it's a stick that you point it at somebody and they just take damage. That's useful.
It is useful. I am going to look at
that. And Ellie has found the gif of the best magic missile.
You know what? Yes, I am going to buy 9 of them.
I love this. Now, each of these has its own separate set of charges, so...
Yep.
I'm going to have to drag 9 of these into your inventory.
I can find them. I can drag them in.
Oh, no, they're going to be... Well, I have it loaded up. I can do this pretty quick. But... I'm just taking a moment to savor that I am dragging 9 wands of magic missiles into your inventory.
Look, I, One. For RP reasons, ditched the thing that adds my charisma to my Eldritch Blast. My Eldritch Blast is, by warlock standards, not really very good. Therefore, I need
Magic Blast!
A replacement!
Now, hold up. This is not... It should be saying how many charges they have, but it's not.
Yeah, a lot of them are messed up.
Well, beh. Let's take
Details.
A look here. Hold on. What? Well, that was the stuff imported from D&D Beyond. Let's see if the SRD stuff looks better. Because the SRD stuff also has... Is that the
I'm
same?
Doing it. I'm doing it. I'm fixing it.
Oh.
I just need to look at...
Then I'm going to get rid of the 10th one that I drug into your inventory. I want that one back, actually. It technically does not exist. For legal reasons, it's not allowed to exist.
There.
Oh, wait. Now you only have 8. Oh, there we go.
Just kidding. Just kidding. It's real.
And delete that one.
Cavill has become, well, Cavill already has the ability to fly with impunity because of the Converse sneakers of flying. Cavill has little wings as well. Cavill has become plane. You are a World War I fighter plane.
Vroom!
And because Bard, you can have Flight of the Valkyries playing while you fly in out of the sun. You can do that because you resist the fire damage. Shooting magic missiles at the target below.
Okay.
You have 1 wand of magic missiles and... 8 different Wand of Magic Missiles parentheses copy. I kind of don't want you to delete where it says copy. Go ahead and do that if you really want to, but it amuses me greatly. This is we've named this one Daryl. That one is his other brother Daryl.
This one, guess it, Daryl.
And all the rest of them are also Daryl.
It's motifs on our team.
You know, canonically, there is a red dragon in the Forgotten Realms that fancies themselves to be a powerful wizard. And this was, they were created at a time where they took spellcasting away from dragons as an innate ability. So what they did, what the devs did was they said, this dragon, when they fly around, they basically have magic wands taped to each wing. So they're a red dragon, but they might just hit you with lightning because they feel like it.
Why not?
Well, I'm not going to tape the wands to my wings. That would be tacky. I'm going to put them in a bandolier.
Like a normal person.
Exactly.
So that gnomish flying city that I stole from basic D&D from back in the day and then put into this campaign, they had turrets to defend against dragons and other aerial creatures that were powered by magic wands. So you actually did find gnomes in that setting that had bandoliers full of wands of magic missile or wand of fireball, because that's how they reloaded the turrets.
Wait, you know, also they accidentally write down 10. That's not 10. They have 7 charges. I was looking at my...
Oh, no. You've overcharged them.
With how you use it, you can just get, you know, a little bit more oomph out of it.
Cavill smiles appreciatively at the mirror, looking at their bandolier of wands of magic missile, and then notices that they're starting to wiggle and vibrate because they're all overpowered and overclocked. tosses the bandolier and runs out of the store. There is a muffled explosion and a cloud of smoke comes out. Quentin comes out 2 seconds later, covered in black soot for no apparent reason.
Oops.
What did you do? And somehow the scroll of Tarrasque summoning did not get destroyed in the blast.
Oops.
My insurance will actually go down if it is.
I mean, something like that, you've got to toss it into a volcano.
I asked. The Red Death said, not on my watch. I said, you're not wearing one. Then he kicked me out.
I am going to take a picture of the favorite list on my sheet. Because my...
Wand of Magic Missiles 1, Wand of Magic Missiles 2, Wand of Magic Missiles 3.
I have labeled them each little
label. What order are you going to use them in, though?
Roll a d9 and find out.
Are you going to rotate?
Well, it might be best to rotate them if you're conserving the charges properly, because each one replenishes a set amount each dawn, usually.
I was being silly. I didn't mean that to be taken seriously.
Yeah, no.
Welcome to the campaign.
The idea.
If you're being serious, the response will be silly. If you're being silly, the response will be serious. Sometimes it'll be both.
Yeah, when have I taken not action, and when have I not accidentally done something important?
Now, you broke up a little bit there, so I don't know exactly 100% the words that you said. But at the same time, I have a considerable number of recordings. And also, remember, you had to be the trusted adult when Dad was building a forge in the middle of the street.
And I think you know how much that hurt me to do.
You took psychic damage, yes.
I did, and I had unwanted character growth.
And then the campaign ended. Not right then, but I see that Beth found Boots of Elvenkind. Beth, are you buying Boots of Elvenkind as well?
Yeah. I mean, look, I got it. Because...
How can you say no?
Exactly.
So no one will hear you when you fall off of the cat tree and land on your small leather bag filled with beads of force, thus encapsulating yourself in 8 concentric force fields, making yourself weigh 1 pound and be able to be tossed like the football.
I mean, you get down on all fours and you go run, you know.
We just see the ball rotating in place.
It wears off eventually.
You have Boots of Elvenkind in your inventory.
Thank you.
I do like having a shopping episode every so often. There's plenty of room for silliness. There can be plot advancement, but we don't have to make sure we stick to that a whole lot.
And the tangents can be part of the fun.
What do you mean can be? They're required.
That's fair.
By law. Only the law was written by that kobold over there. He says he's a lawyer. He took a correspondence school. But I'm pretty sure when he says he passed the bar, it's because he went past the Quest Hub Bar and Grill to get to us to tell us this. But that's not the same kind of bar. Millie has just typed a sentence.
No, it makes sense, okay? Look further up.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Be gentle. Be gentle with your desk.
About the product.
Sorry. Gently pat the tabletop to make it leveled.
Yeah, so everyone, yes. The shopping I'm doing is for a desk, and I found a desk with the description of gently pat the tabletop to make it leveled. When every part is okay, tighten the screws. Features, what can you get? A desk? I hope it's a desk.
Oh, I hope it's a desk. It's a pile of parts. This is not what I asked for.
Yeah, also, I've sent that to another friend and responded with, like, a dog?
Yeah.
again, the banter is part of it.
I just, like, I'm listening, and obviously I'm very much still a part of this, but there's always about 25% of my brain that's at the tabletop. Just stuck there. Yeah, 25% of my brain at all times is just thinking gently, Pat.
Meanwhile, Beth has found a bag of tricks, which she is not getting, which canonically somebody had in our first campaign, although that was long enough ago that few of us remain that remember those days. Chris's character, Vex, had one, and he named each of the animals that he could pull out.
Can I have one?
You may buy one if you want. It is an uncommon magical item.
It's only 300 gold pieces.
And every single time that I am reminded that the bag of trick exists, I think of Felix the Cat.
You're probably supposed to.
Yes. So I would like one. I get the money out of my account.
Okay. So the question is, there's a tan bag of tricks, a rust bag of tricks, and a gray bag of tricks. Which bag of tricks would you like?
Let's see.
If you use the link that
I'm looking at
chat,
it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at it. I think
you
I'm going
to
go with the gray bag of tricks because more of those sound like school mascots than the others.
The Flotsam Direwolves versus the plantain
the
giant
badgers.
Rats.
You have the badgers, the giant badgers, the wolves, the deer.
Well, actually, there needs to be the alliteration. So it'd be the day perfected dire wolves.
Yeah.
The plantain panthers.
I don't know, the water deep wolves. Wrong world.
Well, technically, water deep exists in this campaign as well because interrealm travel is possible. But
that's
I put
fair.
Discworld in this campaign for crying out loud.
Oh, so it's the Discworld dire wolves. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
No. The Discworld would not be able to just send one team.
That's true.
That's true. There has to be one for each of the main cities. Like, who's going to be Ankh-Morpork plays?
Well, Ankh-Morpork would have more than one team because Unseen University has the Unseen Academicals.
Oh, that's true. That's true, true, true.
But they specifically don't play a whole lot of sports. They just do foot the ball.
Yeah.
In any case, you now have a gray bag of tricks.
That's wonderful. I hope you're excited for me to throw
in. I am ready to have more things in the inventory. Well, in the initiative order, yes.
Fortunately, they are not things that you will have to determine as the what they're going to do because, well, they're under the player's control, kind of, sort of.
I just realized that...
No, it has its own initiative. It takes action on its turn.
This description for this desk also gives retro tips. What is a retro tip? Like...
Well...
Retro what?
You know...
It's for if you want to make it look like an El Camino.
It's like, you know, like, this is the trip, you know, here's a tip from the old days. Tap the desk.
Back when I was your age, we tapped our desks. That's nice, Grandpa. It's time for your medication. And I have now clicked on the link that EO found twice because I forgot I clicked on it the first time. Ring of Puzzler's Wit. An uncommon magical item from the Book of Many Things. This gold ring bears a fluorite stone and is enchanted to sharpen the wearer's mind. That sounds painful. The ring has three charges and regains 1d4 minus one expended charges daily at dawn. If you roll a one, I want it to expend a charge. Actually, that would be zero.
That's zero.
1d4 minus two. It's a defective ring. When you make an intelligence check, you can expend one charge to grant yourself advantage on the check. Are you thinking about that or getting it?
Yes, I'm getting it.
I'm sorry. I know what you mean, but just how quickly you said yes. Put the order of, are you thinking about it or getting it? Yes.
I mean,
I'm doing both. I'm thinking about it and getting it. Which is better than doing only one of those things.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing. I don't have a copy of the Book of Many Things. So
there's a link.
Well, yes. We have the link with the information for it, but I don't have it in Foundry just to throw it in. Fortunately.
Oh.
Yeah. So it would need to be created. Only people like EO can make things in Foundry. Oh, wait. People like EO. EO's a people like EO.
Yeah, but I'm having a weird amount of trouble making an item appear. Oh, that's what I did. Okay.
Were you trying to create it in your features also?
No, I was trying to create it not in edit mode.
Ah. I definitely was not trying to add it to your features.
Good
that
to
is
hear.
Not a thing I was doing. But you know what? We've been playing for some value of playing for about an hour. What do you say we take a short break?
Sure. Just scroll through a lot of things to get to the quest list.
I love that I unmuted, well, unpaused just in time for you to say that.
That is
wonderful. Yeah, the quest list is fairly high up at this point. You have to go past many GIFs and pictures of furniture, some of which may have been turned into dog. They're all good desks, Bront.
They're all good desks.
Yes. So your quests that are available, before we go into the quests, during the break, Tex purchased a fortress. Technically speaking, it is Dairn's Instant Fortress, which is basically a fortress in a cube. You can set it on the ground, say a command word, and you've got a fortress, which we'll go into more detail when it is used, most likely. So your quests, retrieve an item for Mo, which is repeatable, as always, because Mo always has more things that he'd like you to gather for him. And whatever Augmentite experiment went horribly wrong this time, it's possible
obviously
that
repeatable.
No one in Flag knows what horrible experiment has gone wrong this time. But every time they send someone there, there's a problem to be solved. They are a problem factory.
They just kind of assume something went wrong.
Pretty much.
Happens.
Yeah, sometimes something goes wrong on your way there. Someone's building giant robots. In the mountains. Stop them. That one's new. And there's also a quest to defeat the Baroness of Kavreem.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. Chadrick wants to see giant robots.
The giant robot.
He wants to control a giant robot.
The giant robots sound like they might be related.
You're cutting
out. Do you
think
he's caring about the overall plot? There's a giant robot, and maybe he can control mecha.
I'm agreeing with you.
I imagine both characters are interested in the giant robot for entirely different reasons.
Yeah, I was assuming that conversation was in character.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Chadrick wants to be in Pacific Rim.
Also, just imagine the imagery of the whole team together at the Quest Hub Bar and Grill to discuss what quest they do next, and Chadrick saying, Chadrick wants giant robots, while standing directly next to Tex and Mech.
Well, those certainly are some giant robots, sort of.
Well, okay, but like, I've already ridden on top of Tex and Mech. What if there was one that was like the size of a building? That would be cool.
I should learn the enlarge spell.
Cut to A, tromping through the town of Flotsam.
Roar!
But A is just slightly larger because A is a small kobold.
I mean, you might be able to get A up to like,
A is increased to the size of a dragonborn. People just look at A and turn away and keep doing their business.
Yeah, that's fair. That's really fair.
So it sounds like there are two votes for giant robot. Is a sentence I've said for a D&D game.
Giant robots sound good.
I think it's important to keep in mind that Chadrick is actually going on a quest. I'm just saying.
Oh, this is tremendous character growth. Still incredibly self-centered, but character growth. If it's a large enough giant robot, it might have a bathroom in it.
That's true, but also, much more importantly, it is the frat boy behavior. I want a giant robot.
Yep,
Fair.
Ellie, the giant robots weren't from the moon before, and they weren't animal-shaped before. However, the temptation to have them be that way now is strong.
We will find
also,
out.
Also, Monty broke all of those.
Monty.
Well, they were being controlled by a being that wanted to throw the moon through the Earth again.
Okay, point.
Which is really weird, because the Earth doesn't exist in this campaign setting. But never mind about that.
Lowercase e.
Yeah. Through the planet.
Yeah.
The one you keep all your stuff on.
Yeah. Including us.
Well, you weren't there at the time. It's fine. Or it would have been fine. It will be fine again.
One hopes.
All right. So it sounds like the consensus is giant robots.
Giant robots. Does not scan to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, it doesn't.
I don't see the appeal, but I'll go along with it.
You show up and the town is just full of very mechanical looking humans wearing large, very large mustaches and overcoats and wide brimmed hats. Saying, how do you do, fellow humans? You see, they're robots in disguise.
Oh. But do they fly? Because then they'd be robots in disguise.
Well, none of you got the amethyst deception thing that lets you reverse gravity. So.
Disgrace.
Disgrace. Betrayed.
This deception.
Sky.
That's a callback. All right. So, with a quest selected and shopping concluded for now, when Jem returns, we're going to have to make sure that they spend some of their currently 9,000 gold on things. I think that's where we are going to end it for this session. So thank you everyone for listening. Thank you everyone for playing. Tonight I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, and Millie. Who would like to plug a thing?
Io's mom writes books, ElizabethMcCoy.com, or look up Elizabeth McCoy at your local library, especially in the Hoopla app or the Libby app, and ask your library to get them if they don't have them, and, you know, the usual. And speaking of awesome things,
like social networks.
Sorry, that wasn't the usual setup.
Yeah, well, that's because we don't have Jen
also
here.
Jen is frequently here, yes.
Yeah, but when does that stop us from plugging someone's stuff just because they ain't here?
Well, gosh, people could go to bookofjen.net or shattersocial.com. But you know what? Jen happens to have an account on a social network.
Wow. So anyways, the social network is called elek.xyz. That's elekk.xyz. It is part of Mastodon. The Fediverse, whatever the hell you want. It's the Twitter that's not owned by a Nazi. And if you join it, I personally stop any Nazis from looking at it, so you're safe to just be on the internet for a moment. It's a wild concept. You should try it.
And speaking of wild concepts.
Somebody.
And speaking of websites, we put all these podcasts on aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel. You can find us on the Fediverse. It is aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shan Shan, Walter, Liv Drummond, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying,
oh, wow, so that's what they're doing. Wait, oh no, that's what they're doing. Oh no, oh no, oh no.
Good night, everyone.
Right.